Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Fearscape Media Network is your new home for everything weird and enlightening. Check out podcasts and YouTube shows covering content from discussions on horror films to the paranormal to meditation. Find out more at fearscapemedia.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We are on a journey to understand and to discover the phenomena that seems to exist all around the globe. We invite you to join us on this journey into the unknown.
To another awe-inspiring episode of Fearscape Paranormal here on the Fearscape Media Network. I am your host, Josh Rutledge, and I am joined, as always, by my doppelganger, Stefan Gearhart. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay.
I feel like I should... My name is Josh Rutledge. I like to read like books by audio.
I feel like I should change the level of my... Like, my voice is too deep to be Stefan on.
Hey, Josh, I'm doing great.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say? No. Thank you guys for tuning in as usual. I am actually Stefan Gearhart, if you couldn't tell by my smooth, velvety tones. And of course, Josh here, begrudgingly, following my lead tonight. We have a fun show, as we usually do. At least I hope you think so. That's why you keep tuning in. We've got a fun show tonight. We are gonna have a getting spooky episode with someone really, really cool. And we pre-recorded this, and it's a badass conversation. I'm just gonna put it out there right now. This is the guy that was the first person to release the rubber duck video, Andy from the NYUAP discussion Instagram and YouTube page. just buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I'll say it too. If you're more on the lines of like, you know, cap, and you're like language, just there might be a couple spots where you're like, but it's good. Stick around. You're going to enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, we loved it. Just a lot of really great information. And Andy's just an amazing dude. So you'll want to stick around for that after the segments. But speaking of which, you know, we got to get into those. So we got to do our shameless plug as usual. Go to fearscapepodcast.com, fearscapemedia.com. Check out all the other podcasts for the Fearscape Media Network. And then while you're on fearscapepodcast.com, you can hit that slash button and then type in store or type in support as ways to help support us, whether it's buying merch or supporting us monthly, or buymeacoffee.com/fearscape and hook us up with a one-time gift, you know, so that Josh can finally get a haircut.
Yep, it's been a little bit.
In the famous words of Stained, it's been a while!
I don't think that's what they sound like.
No, it's pure chin rock.
Okay.
It's been a while. But yeah, those are all the places you guys can help us out, as well as, of course, you know, hitting up our sponsor, Manscaped, Fearscape 20. Hit it.
And rate and review. Oh, my goodness. It helps
rate and
so
review.
Much.
Yes.
You know, there's an algorithm. It's called the Matrix. And
not the one inside Optimus Prime.
No, that one is used to defeat evil. No, this algorithm, though, it like takes rates and reviews and stuff, and it says, hey, these people like this. Maybe other people would too, and it moves us up on the pages of suggestions and things when people are looking for new podcasts. So, yep.
And it's perfect since Apple Podcasts and Spotify are our two biggest subscribers. On Apple, you can rate and review, and on Spotify, I believe you can only rate, but still, hit us up with that 5-star.
It helps.
Goes a long way. And anywhere else that you can do that, do so, because I don't know. It makes me feel better about my life.
We don't have a Yelp, but somebody could go create a Yelp for us and then write it there if you want.
That would be cool. Shout out to listener John Matthews. Again, we did his story recently from the UK. This man went out there and rated and reviewed Fearscape Paranormal. Thank you, sir. But we're becoming fast friends because of Doctor Who and Red Dwarf. Just letting you know, the discussion has changed, y'all. Anyways, no, I always love to give shout outs to our blanket huggers out there when they rate and review. We always appreciate it. We love you guys so much. Yep. But let's get moving on. Let's get to our first segment of the week, Psychic Word of the Week.
And now, the Psychic Word of the Week.
Psychic Word of the Week comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary from June G. Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Hung Bear. I love you even though I never knew you. I know you're here. Let's ghost it up. Patrick Swayze me. So I flipped through the pages and I stopped quick this time because I was like, man, we don't hit a lot of A's. So I flipped through I got to alpha state of consciousness. And so, Santosh, I know you're listening. You know a lot about this. Biofeedback training is in parentheses here. And it says a brainwave frequency of approximately 8 to 14 cycles per second as registered on the brain rhythm scale used with the electroencephalograph instrument.
Also called an EEG.
Oh, thank you. That's way easier. One, universal characteristics of humans that register this state: awake but not actively moving about, resting, relaxed, composed, meditative, approaching the hypnotic state, or becoming less alert to outer stimuli than normal. Two, an awareness of invisible emotional reactions, psychic information, and inspirational thought. Three, to use the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds alternately, unintentionally shifting back and forth. And of course, followed up with beta waves. You know, that's why I say, you know, Santosh, I think, was the first one to really teach me about the different states of consciousness. And finding I think when we worked at Barnes & Noble back in the day, and finding CDs that actually had alpha brain waves and things like that to help with meditation and stuff like that built in. It's pretty neat.
Well, you know, when we talked about Robert Monroe last week, and that's pretty much the state that he would go into before he would have his out-of-body experience.
I'm in Arizona. That's the state I'm in. You're not in a state at all. You're in a commonwealth.
Yeah.
Okay. So, moving on. Let's go ahead and get to our next segment, which is got some hilarious spooky news. Oh, Josh, do I have some hilarious spooky news? It's amazing the alerts I set up on Google Alerts for me and then what stories show up. I have Satan and Satanic on there just for shiggles. And occasionally, like, an exorcism story will pop up or something fun, but not as fun as the story that I came across today here on WIVB.com. This is WIVB4. I have no idea where this is at. But the headline reads, woman protests Spider-Man sculpture as satanic hate crime against the church.
Okay.
I'm going to get you, Spider-Man, you menace. Lincoln, Nebraska is here where it is. says a woman is fighting the city of Lincoln, Nebraska over a sculpture she says depicts devil horns at a local zoo. According to CNN, the woman demanded that the city remove the sculpture in a written complaint to Mayor Gaylor Baird, saying,
"It is a sculpture of two hands open, painted red and black, and formed into devil horns. This is anti-Christian and demonic and completely inappropriate and offensive to place in front of the children's zoo in the gardens where couples are married."
She added that the statue was a hate crime against the church, according to the Lincoln Journal Star. City officials responded that the sculpture is not a city issue and is one of 50 installed throughout the city as part of a charitable event called the Serving Hands Lincoln Public Art Project. The nonprofit's group director, Matt Schulte, said he was surprised by the complaint since the sculpture's colors correspond to the costume worn by Spider-Man. The 6-foot Spider-Man sculpture was installed in May. Schulte said when the installation was taking place, it didn't have the spider webs attached, and maybe that's where it got misunderstood. Because I believe all it is a sculpture of the hands with him pressing the insides there. So looks like he's rocking out. But his thumbs are out, which means I love you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know, other than them being red, how it could be. Yeah,
it's just because she sees the bullhorns, which, you know, satanic rockers always did for the bullhorns. Oh, it's the devil. But if you stick the thumb out, it's I love you. But if you press them middle fingers in a little harder, it's web time.
Yeah. People are reaching.
And this is fantastic, because what we just talked about is going to fit right in with our conversation with Andy. I didn't even realize that when I pulled this story earlier. So I love how that works. But yeah, that's our spooky, and I'm doing air quotes here, spooky news this week. But it cracked me up, Josh. I had to share it. But let's get into some actual spooky news type stuff and get into our Bigfoot sighting of the week. Got our Bigfoot sighting of the week. Again, probably one of the Jersey Devil's friends, as he tends to hang out with a lot of Sasquatch type folks. It's just the gang he likes. He's the short guy that likes all the tall guys with him, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Napoleon complex, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. But he runs the show. He does indeed run the show. He's not even here right now. He's actually in a bowling league with a bunch of Sasquatch.
Yeah. What it's called.
I don't know. I'm not quick enough to think of anything. Like, cause I'll like Sasquatch and roll. I don't know. Sasquatchus bowl. I don't know.
Anyways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot sighting.
What do we got, Josh? What do we got?
So, this actually happened, back in November 29th, 2021. Last year. I think this will be the last time I make that last year joke. I don't know. Don't hold me to it.
Anyways, I think you got one more week.
So this has actually been making the rounds on various news sites and stuff. And most of those sites don't have the full details. And so I went out to BFRO, which is where it came from, and pulled the full report. So here we go.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because this even popped up a ton in my spooky news Google alerts. So yeah. I'm excited. All right, hit me up.
So it's from The Witness.
Saturday night, I was driving at 10:30 p.m. in Central Illinois, heading from Cass County to Tazewell County. A car was probably 3/4 mile ahead of me, and I could see their taillights. I saw a large animal jump into the road about 40 yards ahead. When it hit the road, I could see very large legs spread wide and a dead run with large, swinging, hairy arms. The arms switched back and forth close to the ground as its body was leaning forward. It leaped across the road in two jumps. When it hit the shoulder, it looked back at me. I said to myself out loud, "Fucking Bigfoot!" It was about 2 seconds before it vanished into the darkness altogether, but I could see it clearly. It was very large, and even though it was hunched over nearly horizontal, it still was close to being wider than my car and nearly to the top of my windshield. It blocked out the lights of the car ahead. It had shiny black hair. I could not see eyes or mouth, but saw its head turn towards me before it jumped into the dark field. Also noticed it was running and leaping very fast, nearly as fast as a white-tailed deer. Its gait and or stride was huge.
Then we have the investigator's report.
Ooh, cool. So we get a follow-up. That's definitely something I have not seen in the news stories at all.
So it says, this is from the investigator, Matthew Moneymaker.
All right.
Okay, shake your moneymaker. Anyways, this is a very reliable sighting. I spoke extensively with the witness by phone. The individual is 59 years old. He has been a design engineer for the past 38 years, designing parts for custom welding machines. He is married and has two kids in college. He was not particularly interested in the Bigfoot subject, but he recognized what he was seeing. He was driving 70 miles per hour and didn't slow down much until he reached the next town. He kept going, then stopped in Havana, the next town, to text his wife and kids to say he had seen a Bigfoot crossing the highway. He was driving north, and the figure was running frighteningly fast across the highway from left to right in an open field. He commented that the pin position shown below, there's a map included, if you go to bfro.net you can see it, maybe off somewhat. He thinks it happened a bit further down on north on 78, further into the open field. There was no cover on either side of the road at that point, so it's impossible for him to pinpoint the exact crossing point. He agreed to make a sketch of the figure so it could be added to this report later. He was surprised that this was the first posted visual sighting report for this county, Cass County, Illinois. But he noticed the next county to the east has 13 posted reports, and the county nearby to the north has 12 posted reports. He noted that Cass County is very sparsely populated, only about 12,000 people.
I love this because every story that I have come across, the big thing that it mentions immediately is reliable sighting. And that's not something you see very often in sightings like this, but it is in like all the headlines. It says very reliable sighting. And that's pretty impressive. You know, and this isn't very far from, you know, Missouri. It's not very far from the Ozarks and places like that. So there's definitely a lot of action in that area, heavily wooded. Why not? Yeah. One of the cool things that it did mention here in this sighting is it said that the member also said that while this is the first reported sighting in Cass County, that there are 13 reports in one neighboring county, which is very, very interesting because you're like, are you crossing county lines there, bro? You trying to cut away from the Cass County police and go into a different jurisdiction?
Well, it's Cass County might be dry. Maybe he's heading to a bar.
That's where he was heading. He was just heading to the bar, man. Could be. There's also a theory that I saw on an article that said that there is a YouTube documentary called The Sasquatch Theory that released a video about a possible sighting near Mark Twain Forest in Missouri. It's not too far from there, really, at the end of the day. But they wonder if these two incidents could be related on the sightings. And I say, why just that? Just because there's a documentary? Missouri has a ton of sightings, as does Kentucky and Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana. Wayne Barnes was Southern Indiana. I mean, he had a ton that he investigated all the time. Rest in peace, my friend Wayne. But yeah, very, very cool. Very reliable, which I love.
Yeah. I mean, so. It's just, and this is a Class A, right? So they break, BFRO breaks them up into Class A, Class B, Class C. Yeah. Class A is like the best type of sighting you can
have. Oh, yeah. I mean, this dude saw Harry without the Hendersons. I mean, that's... Like, swinging across the road reminds me of the story Santosh and I tell you that we heard about the monkey cat in Taylor County, you know, Kentucky, things like that. Very similar of these families that saw these things with the large swinging arms, the whole nine yards slash kit and caboodle. So, but yeah, thank you, Josh, for sharing that with us. And let's go ahead and get to Andy and the from the NY UAP discussion. Hey there, blanket huggers. Stefan here from Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Got some good news for you. If you want to join in on the investigation of the mystery of the recent emails from the man claiming to be Terry Rist to Josh and myself, aka the Spooky Crew, and his advice on where to look for more high strangeness, or if you simply want to become a patron blanket hugger for some cool swag and behind-the-scenes goodness, go ahead and join our Patreon at fearscapepodcast.com/support or patreon.com/fearscapepod. There you can get Riskwatch access to the Terry emails themselves, the WhatsApp conversation about it all with Josh, Stefan, Santosh, and Olaf Phillips, and even any clues that are new that we have found in other Fearscape-related bonus content. You can even help out and add anything that you have found to help us dive deeper into the mystery. And remember, you can also just be a normal blanket hugger, as there are a few non-wristwatch tiers for patrons not interested in Terry Rist and that journey. You'll still have access to bonus interviews, articles, and live Patreon-only Q&As, as well as early access and discounted tickets to events put on by Fearscape, such as psychic events, tarot readings, etc. Or you can simply support however you feel comfortable, with tiers as low as $1. So join today! All right, welcome back, everybody, to Fearscape Paranormal. We are back, like we said, with Andy from NYUAP Discussion, Instagram, YouTube page extraordinaire. Josh, I'm excited. You excited, buddy?
Oh, I'm definitely excited because I feel like it's been, like, what, an episode since we talked about UAPs? I mean, it's...
it is, because last week we talked about out-of-body experiences. Yep. Week before that, we talked about the Rendlesham Forest.
So yeah, but
those were UFOs back then. So
yeah, it's not UAPs.
We're talking UAPs now. But Andy, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure, guys.
So we're super pumped, man. You know, we've been following you for a while, especially with the rubber duck video. I think that's how we kind of took notice there a little bit, which was pretty remarkable. I'm just going to go ahead and drop it right out the gate. How were you the one that stumbled across that bad boy?
Oh my God. The story behind that is, if you've been following me, you know what I've gone through because of that video. So yeah. it's been hell. I mean, in one way, it, you know, was a good thing. But in the other, it was like, oh my God.
Oh, I bet. I got stuck with Josh, so I understand. You know,
the thing that really gets me is number one, I don't know how you have time to post the stuff that you post. Like, that must be your full-time job, is just keeping up with your Instagram posts. But I like that you share a lot of content and you let your followers kind of decide what they're willing to believe and what they're not willing to believe. But unfortunately, those people who are unwilling to believe attack you for it.
And they stay unwilling. That is something I learned.
So. Yeah. I get attacks all the time. I've had multiple Reddit threads made of me. I mean, it you name it, you've said it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and that's probably one of the things that is like the most frustrating when it comes to this subject is like, what purpose is there to attack someone trying to get the same information everybody wants out? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it's, you know, what really is, I guess, mind-boggling for me is the people who go on these accounts and attack you and others like you. Why are they there?
Yeah,
that's such a great question. And let me add this, because I will say these folks, and they're not all skeptics. Some of them are believers, but they only want to believe their own way. But regardless, I equate them to very fundamentalist evangelical Christians that will very much like come at you and want you to believe, or they want you to believe what they believe so hardcore. But the second you invite them to your religious thing, they say, oh, hell no. No, that is the devil, you know, or whatever it may be. Yeah. It's like, but there is no shaking them.
Yeah. I deal with it every day.
I feel like there's probably a psychological paper here for, you know, for like some psychologist listeners need to like put some time and effort and studies into why people who are like adamantly against something will follow it on social media.
I'm sure somebody somewhere is studying that or writing a paper on it. I've actually had what was it, last week I had a professor from France message me asking me for permission to use the footage on a presentation he was doing with some engineers and stuff. So that was
Wow, that's awesome.
But to go back to the question real quick, so I got the footage. Apparently there was a Department of Homeland Security agent who was following me, and yeah. Well, from what he tells me, there's multiple, so I only know of him so far, but
yeah,
other ones that follow my page as well. But mm-hmm. You know how it is, nobody's really willing to come forward. A lot of people are always afraid because of the stigma and, you know, how they're gonna,
of course,
yeah, oh yeah,
look at them, you know, reputations and stuff.
I mean, my wife, every day I deal with that.
Yeah,
I deal with it every day.
I've been dealing with it since 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, really, yeah.
But so yeah, so he, you know, I received this message one day on my Instagram, and you know, this individual was talking about that he had some. It was a cell phone clip at first that he wanted to show me that he thought I would find interesting. He said, you know, he felt like sharing it with me. That he liked the way I presented my my content, that he liked the way I, you know, just didn't give a shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And felt comfortable sending it to me. So, you know, once I got it, I saw the clip. He had recorded it from his cell phone. It was on his actual computer from his office. And when I saw the footage, I was like, holy crap, you know, like, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And It took a while, but I was able to convince him to, you know, go and actually get the original files from the DHS server. He was a little nervous about it because, you know, yeah, you can't plug in a USB drive into a government stuff.
unless you're Snowden, then you just
run to Russia. Right. Yeah. Why do you got that big stack of writable DVDs there, buddy?
Yeah.
Taking them out to the garbage, man. I don't know.
Yeah, so he actually ended up getting them, and he sent me the original files. He showed me all the proof of who he was, showed me the location on the computer, you know, where they had those files. Mm-hmm. They had kept them in this folder because, you know, it was three videos. It was the rubber duck, the A-10 Warthog, and mm-hmm. La Bruja. And they had them in there because no one could explain what they were, you know. So it would go around the office and people would see it and they try to figure out, well, what is this? And it was unexplained, you know? So he sent it to me and the rest. Oh my God. It's been interesting.
Do you regret it?
I don't regret it. No, I don't regret how I did it because, like, regardless of how, you know, people were upset because I teased it for a long time and, you know, I would never put anything out and I hyped it up. And you know what? I hyped it up because I knew what I was looking at.
Right.
I don't
yeah.
care what anybody says. I don't honestly could give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. Like, it is what it is. This person came to me and trusted me with the footage. So that means I must have been doing something right. You understand?
Yeah.
Regardless
you're just making sure that it got its due attention, right? Because I mean, it's a pretty substantial video.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a Batman balloon, you know. So
exactly, and listen, we had people from the moment I released it on Twitter, without any analysis, we had major UFO researchers come out and say, "Oh, the, you know, I mean, bashing me right out the back." I'm like, "Why? Take the time to analyze it before you go and automatically begin ridiculing me.
Yeah.
For what? Because you didn't get the footage first?
Yeah.
Because it didn't go by through your hands first? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you think. This is the problem, in my opinion, is the problem with this subject right now, is that, you know, you have all these people that claim to be these experts, that they want to be the leaders in this subject. They want to get their hands into the cookie jar and call themselves, you know, the go-to guys for information. But at the end of the day, none of these fucking people, nobody fucking knows what any of this stuff
no.
is. You understand what I'm saying?
How can you be an expert in something that's unidentified?
Exactly. You know, and then you have individuals, you know, I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm pretty sure people know who I'm talking about, who have this crazy truck outfitted with all of this equipment that, yeah, he's going to go out there hunting UFOs and I got this, I got that, you know, but then you don't want to use any of the $1,000 worth of equipment that you invested in to analyze legitimate footage that came out of Department of Homeland Security that's over 40 minutes long. Does that make any fucking sense? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you're probably right. There is probably a little bit of kind of the same way that people, believers who believe their own certain thing about what the phenomena is. There are probably also people who are investigators, right, who have their own methodology of doing investigation. And so when something goes beyond or outside of that, again, it's like a, I'm right and I have the right path. I've got the magic golden ticket. I get to tour, you know, Willy Wonka's factory. But I don't know where I'm going with that.
I haven't mentioned he who shall not be named in a long time, but Stephen Greer is that, is the perfect example of that. He is the, I am the way, the truth, and the light to aliens. And if you don't come through it through me, it's not correct. And it's that kind of same idea, I think, Joshua, you're talking about, that there are UFO investigators, ghost hunters, all kinds of stuff like that, that if they aren't the ones that discovered it, found it, and went through it, then it don't count.
Yeah.
It's sad because we see that all the time. When we should be collaborating and working together, there's still this competitiveness in this arena that shouldn't be there.
But you know, one of the things. Sorry, go ahead, Andy.
No, go. I was just agreeing. Okay.
Well, one of the things that I think is very, we've talked about it before, Stefan, is how hard it is to trust footage because of the number of fakes that are produced all the time. And so, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I sometimes will be scrolling through Instagram and I'll see a UFO footage video, I'll be like, "Wow, that's amazing!" But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, "Is that fake? Is that real?" I mean, it's just, you know, it's really hard. And in, you know, I think we're at the point where, like, even if somebody had footage, you know, everybody else always talks about, I won't believe in aliens until they land on the White House lawn. Even if we have footage of that happening, somebody would say it was fake.
Well, it's absolutely flat, it's the flat Earth syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, and plus with, you know, the way technology is now is like, you know, there's now the internet is so full of doubt now. It's like you can't trust anything you see, you know.
Yeah.
And I deal with it all the time. There's footage that just for years I thought was real, and I mean, incredible videos. I don't know if you remember seeing one video that showed these like four white orbs that kind of came into view while they were looking at a like a nuclear something like a some nuclear facility, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That video is one of my favorites. I mean, absolutely incredible. I found out it was CGI.
Oh.
And not only found out, I was actually sent the link to the individual who created it and scrolled through the page and saw the process, how he did it. I was like, you have to be kidding me.
Why?
I'm like,
Like,
I don't understand why.
That's that disinformation shit. And it's like, you wonder if he's getting paid by the government to do something like that, you know?
You know?
The one that really blows me away, and I recently watched a little short 1-hour thing about it, is the pyramid over the Kremlin back in 2009 and the pyramid over the Pentagon in 2018 that looks very similar. And I've watched it several times, and like the one that is in the Kremlin, like you see like power lines pass in front of it and stuff, and I'm like, if this is CGI, somebody did an amazing job, and I can't believe nobody's claimed it as look at my example of my work that I did.
Well, I actually did a little like investigation into that, and the Pentagon one is one I can say I don't honestly, I haven't found anything that points to that being a fake, because there was multiple footage.
Yeah, there was like four different vantage angles that were,
and not only that, I found one of the originals that was filmed in the car, and it whoever was driving took turns and everything was coming around, and this object was still in the same spot.
Yeah.
So I can honestly say that one might be legitimate, but it's hard to definitively say that it is. But based off of what I saw and the fact that, you know, there was three different individuals who filmed it from different perspectives, I'm getting the impression that that was actually legitimate.
Yeah, and it's like Josh said, it's like, you know, if you're not being paid to do this, why are you doing this, right? That's a big question, because you think about accidental ones, right? We live in the internet age now, so there shouldn't be accidental ones anymore. Whereas, like, you know, like the McPherson tape, for example, was one of the first found footage movies ever made and things like that. So much, but it was back before internet, so it got passed around, ended up at UFO conventions as real footage and all this shit, because people just didn't know, because it was this low budget indie film and things like that. And I can almost I understand. I've seen it. It scares. It's even now watching it, it's kind of creepy, you know, but it's like, I understand that, you know, because there was no internet, there was no shit. But now it's like, there's so much information out there. We should be able to find out, just like you said. And then you can find out. And when that makes things a lot more untrustworthy. And it surprises me the amount of videos that I get sent from people that I know immediately are such fakes, like not even close to being fakes, but they're like, oh my God, Stefan, I know you're into this stuff. Look at this video. And I'm like, dude.
But hold on, I got to cut you off there. You know, you brought up a good point, and there's something that's really, really important about that, is the amount of gullibility that is out in the world, that people do believe a lot of these videos are real. Like, even ones that when we see are like, this is clearly a fake. There are a lot, and it blows my mind because I see it all the time. I follow pages that I put on blast posting bullshit all the time, and I read through the comments, and there are people that legitimately believe these videos are real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just
not just one or two people, but thousands of people. Because I do the same thing. I follow them too, and I especially these ones that people send me, I'll go to those Instagram pages or Twitter, and I follow them back and back and back to all these other boards where they're posting. There's hundreds of thousands of other people that are like, oh my God, this is incredible, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, guys, it's so, the spaceship from Flintstones ahead, because like, it's got black drawn lines around.
Right, yeah. Like, they didn't even white out
look, there's Fred. Like, he's still there.
So, but, you know, it kind of speaks, though, I think, a little bit of volume, too, that the number of gullible people that there are, that these people want to believe, right? They've read the poster. I want to believe. And unfortunately, they so desperately, I think, want to have their own experience that they latch on to just about anything that's out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm you know, to touch up on that, like, you know, a lot of people say that they're ready. And I could tell you from experience, I've said it a million times on different talks, you know, conversations I had on live. It might be 2022, but people are not ready. They're not ready. Like, I don't know if you guys have known, you know, heard my story, but I've actually had a close encounter, and I'll tell you from experience, to see in front of your face from 100 feet away, it looks like real life CGI. Like, I can't, there's no other way to explain it. It looks like real life CGI right in front of your eyes, because it's doing things that, you know, your mind can't wrap around.
Yeah.
So when they say, oh yeah, I won't believe it until it lands in the front of the White House lawn, even if you were standing there and saw it land on the White House lawn, your eyes are still not going to believe you, because how incredible it is. You know what I mean?
Like, Stefan, you talk about the, you know, we've referenced it lots of times on the show, but about how when the ships came from Christopher Columbus and other, you know, European settlers, that a lot of Native Americans they talk about how they probably didn't even see the ships because they couldn't process.
Yeah, their brains couldn't process something like that. They had no idea what they were looking at. And that comes, we talk about this a lot too, is that, and that may be why also some people don't see something, but other, like there may be six people there. Three people see the thing in the sky, but the other three are like, I don't see anything. You know, that their brains may not be able to wrap around what it is that they're seeing because they can't handle it. They can't process it. Like it's like a, I don't know.
Like they're blocked.
Like a defense mechanism.
A good example of that is the Fatima incident, where the thousands of people showed up, and when you know, some said they saw something and others said they didn't see anything, but everyone was in the same spot, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example of it, you know? Maybe they weren't ready to, you know, or they just couldn't understand what they were seeing, so their mind wasn't able to register it.
Right, so, and I've said before, we've talked about this a lot, that paranormal experiences, I equate them to like all of a sudden you get a Jeep and you see Jeeps everywhere all of a sudden, that it's that same thing. You have that paranormal experience and it like unlocks that block in your head that says, now I recognize this, you know, because most people that have a paranormal experience, it's rare to meet anyone that only has one. Like it's like once you got one, it's game time.
Well, it's opening a door, you know, like opening a part of your mind, because you a lot of people don't understand, like, you know, you wake up, your daily routine you know, revolves around just going to sleep, waking up, eating your breakfast, going to work, doing whatever you do, you know what I'm saying? Like that's your life.
Yeah,
that's as much of reality as you know what I'm saying,
3-foot world,
you know what I mean? And outside of this is an entire universe that is things are going on at every second of the day. Right now, something incredible is going on somewhere else.
Right.
Like people can't register. Like people, like, they just don't have the ability to understand that.
Like my wife says, when I talk about some of this stuff, she says, you make my brain hurt.
My wife says the same thing. But it makes you wonder if some of those people are the ones that are attacking because they're unintentionally jealous that they can't experience something like that they're mad. And I know a lot of skeptics are, you know, a lot of times believers were skeptics first. Well, a lot of skeptics sometimes were believers first that have not had any proof, and it's frustrated them, and they didn't get the experiences of all the people that they've talked to and expanded, just turned them into skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, something I also have been kicking around a little bit, and we kind of just touched on it a little bit, opening it up a doorway, you know, is that when you have your own experience, it's like an initiation, and you know, now you're in, you know, now you're in the groove, or you know, you're going to start to, because there's myself, you know, Stefan, we saw something in my backyard like 2 years ago, and it set me, you know, completely different path spiritually, and kind of, you know, doing this podcast and all the stuff that's come from it. So you know, it's almost like having your own personal experience is like the jumping off point from what are you going to do next to really start to expand yourself, your consciousness, other people around you, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I agree. But, what, you know, another one of the frustrating things was when this footage was released, you know, you're going back to the whole CGI thing, you know, that's one of the reasons why I was so excited, because, you know, this is legitimate footage now that is been confirmed. Like this is real.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? Right.
You have, you know, I know I get shit for it all the time, but you know, you have the Tic Tac and you have the Go Fast, you have the gimbal, and it was only seconds long, not even a full minute.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was all over the place. And, you know, and I don't care about fame. I don't care about money. I had offers to get that footage taken off my hands, and I turned them down because, you know, that's not why I do what I do, you know? I'm trying to do it because I want to get the information out there the right way, you know? Because to me, as soon as money's involved, it taints the subject. You know, now
which is unfortunate.
Something else, you know what I mean? And
which is unfortunate, right? Because
yeah.
because they're automatically, if you're trying to make money from it, it must be fake, or it must be false, or you might be a fraud. Or...
Which I have always said is bullshit, because I'm telling you right now, if I got haunted at my house and I got raped by a ghost and crazy shit happened, you better believe if somebody says, I will give you $4 million to sell your story, I will say yes in a heartbeat. Not because I made up this story, but because, hell yeah, it's $4 million. Yes, you can have my story.
Even if it was $400,000.
If it was $4, I'm going to sell you my story. I can get some Kool-Aid and some chicken and waffles, man. Like, I'm good. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you always hear that, especially about famous ghost stories from the 70s and 80s and things like that. Oh, they were, this obviously was a hoax. So obviously, they were trying to make money. And I'm like, who thinks it's a, let's go, you know what, honey, let's put our family through emotional trauma for about a year and a half, 2 years, let's go to doctors and just crazy stuff on the hope and a prayer that somebody might pay us for our story.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, you know, but like, for example, look at, you know, the whole situation with Greer.
Right.
Greer, I followed him for many years. You know, I looked up to Greer. You know, I thought he was amazing at what he was doing. until I tried to go to one of his things and then realized they wanted $4,000 to go.
Oh, it's up from there. It's like
like 10 grand now.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I live in Phoenix. So, you know, he's right around the corner and I see these events all the time and it's insane how much.
Yeah, I mean, like that. Just think about it, you know, and to me, this is how I look at it. And like I said, I get your point and what you're saying when it comes to these things and making money. But again, you know, when you look at it, that's the way our civilization.
Yeah.
Is right. One thing. So I don't want to be associated with that when it comes to this, because you're talking about the greatest subject, the most important subject in the history of mankind, the history of existence. The fact that there may be another race or multiple races out there that may potentially even be the reason why we're here. And right. To turn that into a typical profit-making, you know, topic is to me like, come on, you know, this is bigger than that. We need to, it's one of the reasons why we're still stuck where we are, because that's the mindset that we're always gonna have. And if we don't break from that, how do you move forward?
Yeah.
Evolution? I mean, and you're right, and it is. And once they do kind of get a taste of that money too. I mean, like I love Lou Elizondo. I got to give him credit for pushing the narrative. But a second we heard about his book coming out, we stopped hearing him sharing information, you know?
Exactly.
So I get frustrated with that too, because it's like you had a noble cause, then you realized there was money and then you were like, well, shit. So I'm like, and then same with Greer. Like I follow Greer for a long time. It's the same thing. My God, the early stuff that he did was so incredible. But when this cult leader thing kind of happened, like where he wanted to be on the opposite side of what Lou and Christopher Mellon, those guys were preaching, that's when it went shit. It sucks, because he was a pioneer that really pushed some lines, and now it's gone. Now he just looks like another cult leader.
Greer was the very first person to actually push disclosure in 2000, what was it, one or 2000? Yeah,
with the press club.
Stuff. I mean, think about that. He pulled that off in the early 2000s.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like he had all these people, all these major individuals come forward talking about it. And then I don't know what happened, you know? It's again, money gets involved and it taints it and ruins the subject.
Yep. Well, you
know, I'm glad he brought up that Lou thing, because I thought as soon as that happened, I was like, oh my God. I already knew what people were gonna say.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm like, why are you gonna announce a book knowing that you have this information on this topic that we've all been waiting years to find out about? Yep. Now you're not gonna tell it until we purchase your book?
Yep.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. What really gets me is that the last couple of interviews that he did before he announced the book, he would, you know, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that. No, I'm not at liberty to talk about those things, so on and so forth. But yet now all of a sudden, all that stuff he wasn't at liberty to talk about is going to be in his book.
Exactly.
It's
like, come on, you know, I mean, and I can't.
And it's like, again, I don't begrudge a man for trying to make some money. I get that. But when it's something important like this, like you're saying, I don't think we should be holding that.
No, absolutely not. Not with this. You know what I mean? Just think about
it. Which was that. His biggest bitch was that the government was holding it.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I was like, come on, bro. Like, and listen, I'll tell you from, I can't divulge, I'm not going to go too into this because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to piss off the wrong people. Right. But I will try to get to the gist of this. I've had personal interactions with him. Mm-hmm. He actually personally reached out to me when he heard about the rubber duck footage and the A-10 and all that. And from personal experience, you know, back and forth and, you know, messages, direct messages with him, you know, I personally saw a side that he doesn't show to the world. You understand? And me seeing that and some of the things that he was kind of, I guess you could say, doing to me, or kind of like leaving me hanging after, you know, making me feel like, okay, yes, this footage is, I want to see this footage. And then all of a sudden leaving me high and dry for months after, you know, constant promises and promises, like, bro, I ended up actually telling him, listen, like, are you fucking with me or what? You know what I'm saying? I dead ass told him. He wasn't too happy about it, you know. But I did say it. I'm like, bro, if you don't want to talk, just fucking say it. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna fucking get upset, but stop beating around the bush. You say one thing one minute, you're ready to put me on CNN in one phone call, and then the next thing you know, things start to change. And I said to myself, hold on a second, something's not right here, and you know, it gets, you know, it's more to it, but from personal experience, there's something about the guy that I just can't trust him like
well,
that.
Well, you know, you heard Greer came out back in like, what was it, like October or September, something like that, talking about how his lawyer, right, the main activist lawyer guy that's always with Greer with the curly white hair, that he was going to be representing Elizondo in his case against the government for defamation. Yeah, so you know, I wonder, you know, we heard that from Greer, hey, this is okay, you know, I've been talking with Elizondo and he's actually going to be coming over to our side of the camp and all this kind of stuff, and then really nothing else has ever been said or heard anything else about it. So
yeah, we haven't had any Greer State of the Union addresses on YouTube in a minute.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Me personally, at the beginning, when I first heard of Lou, I was, you know, really excited because of someone forward, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, like I said, you know, from personal interactions and things that I saw that, you know, behind the scenes, I can't trust him, you know?
Well, it's the same thing with Doty. You know, he it makes you wonder if he's another Richard Doty. You know, it's like, is he lying to us even now? Because you can't trust Richard Doty to save your life. I mean, you know, no matter what, and he'll admit it. Like, I could be lying to you. I don't know. And I mean, Lou essentially worked for a similar organization. So it's like, is this all part of that narrative? We don't know.
See, then that's another thing. You know, I had someone, I unfortunately, once again, I can't, you know,
that's okay.
But you know, this individual confirmed with me in conversation that, you know, the suspicions and the things I was raising up, the questions I was bringing up in regards to, you know, this, that were valid. He confirmed this with me, and this is an individual that I know I can trust. Mm-hmm. So hearing that from it kind of made me feel a little good. I was like, all right, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Your intuition's on point.
Yes, exactly. You know, and the way I look at it now is, you know, like you, Steph, you said, you know, this is someone who, he was a part of the secrecy. Like, people forget that. You understand? He ran this department, right, and kept it hidden. He kept the secret. He was a part of it. So now,
part of the black budget, dude. Like, you know,
I mean, think about that. You know, like, so we're just supposed to just absolutely trust everything that he's saying, his motives, and all this. Like, I mean, it just. After a while, seeing all, and putting all the pieces of the puzzle, you start to see a different picture, and then you say to yourself, "All right, hold on,
yeah,
something's not right." You know what I mean?
And then, you know, the fact that the DOD came out and said, you know, he actually never ran that team, and he was never a part of that department, and all this kind of stuff, and And of course, that could all be misinformation as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, it's like we're caught up in a web of something here.
Caught up in a web of lies.
I know. And you know, and just so you know, I gave him the opportunity to look at Rubber Duck before I released it, and once again, he basically just I'll get back to you, and never did, you know. And then I'm not sure if you saw an interview that he had done with Max Moskowitz. I forget it was I forgot where it was that he was at. But anyways, I asked a question. I told him about the footage, and stating that, you know, the organization that was analyzing it confirmed that, you know, it was legitimate or something like that. I made a comment in regards to that, and he responded and said, "Oh yes, that he knows of it and knows that it's real and it is legitimate." When the video finally got released, I believe it was the Sun that did an article on it, had all of that information, had his quote from that, you know, video. And the same day, later on that same day, Lou Elizondo had them change that and it then stated that it was balloons. And I'm like, wait a minute, how is that possible if you actually never bothered to analyze the footage? So not just because you saw 2 seconds of it, it's balloons. So that's when that was the second red flag for me.
Yeah.
That I realized, okay, now he's playing games, you know what I'm saying? And now I have even more of a reason to not trust the guy. So it you know, it's a lot. It gets deeper, but you know, I'm not gonna
That's, you know, I know, we all know you just cry yourself to sleep at night.
I mean, no. It's just interesting. You think about some of these go-to people back in the day and how, in a sense, they completely changed. Carl Sagan's a perfect example, you know, of a guy that was hardcore alien guy and then just out of the blue completely changed his platform. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people think that he was silenced by the government and was paid to essentially become a disinformation agent and to push, you know, like, and all this different stuff. And it makes you wonder, you know, it just makes you wonder, because once you become that guy, you got a spotlight on you,
you know,
in
there's
a different way.
There's the guy who was kind of the main, you know, the rancher guy that found the crash at Roswell. Mm-hmm. He, you know, one of the statements that he gave was that the government took him underground and like basically read him in on the craziness that's going on and how, you know, this really is a threat to the human race and all this kind of stuff. And after that, he changed his story. And so, you know, it really does kind of make you wonder. I mean, you know, we all just want to know what it is, but what if it is really not good for us, you know?
Yeah,
so people get read in and they're like, oh crap, I don't want to continue to spread this and encourage people to talk to aliens, you know? So
I completely agree. I've said all that. That's one of the reasons why I say we're not ready, because, you know, we're just captivated with the phenomena. We're captivated with the cool things that these craft can do. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the same when that craft lands, the door opens, and an 8-foot praying mantis that can talk comes out and starts trying to, you know, communicate with you. I'm pretty sure half the freaking town is going to be on the other side of the freaking, you know, because they don't want to get anywhere near it. Or,
yeah,
you know, people are shooting at it. And, you know,
guys show up in trucks with shotguns, you know.
Yeah, so. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly, this is why I say, no, we aren't ready. I think I've gotten to the point now where I understand that when it comes to this phenomenon, it's not for the entirety of the human race. It's for an individual who's paying attention, and you know, that to me is, it's about the individual.
And, I think that's why there hasn't been such a worldwide thing, because we've had proof of things for years and years and years and years, but it's just like you said, it's not for the entire world.
Well, and I, you know, something that I was thinking about the other day is if I was given the keys to the kingdom, right? If I was read in and knew everything that was going on and knew the truth of it all, met an alien, shook his hand, the whole kit and caboodle, what would my life be like? I'd be a pretty lonely person, because I'd want to tell everybody that that's the case, but nobody's going to believe me. I'm going to get locked away in a padded room somewhere. So, I mean, you know, but also on an individual level, be careful what you ask for, too. So
perfect example of that is the movie Don't Look Up. Well, look, you know,
Look Up. Yeah.
Like, I thought that was brilliant in how they did it, because it captured the essence of what people are like right now, you know. And if a situation like that really occurred, you know, no one is going to believe it until the damn rock is right about to hit, and they're like, oh shit, this is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so sad to think that this is where it's so sad to think that this is where we've gotten to. Yeah. as a society, as a race, you know, where we can't trust anything anybody says. We're questioning everything.
Not
where,
even science. I mean, that's why I brought up the flat earther syndrome earlier. The whole concept of flat earth are these people that say, I don't believe it because I have not seen the earth from outer space. Therefore, I can't trust it. Yeah. And that applies to so many people. It may not be flat earth for them. It may be ghosts. It may be Jesus. It may be
Sasquatch.
Pineapple on pizza. I don't know. It's just, you know, there are just there's a set amount, and it's a growing number of people that say, until I see it with these two eyes and feel it with these hands, that Doubting Thomas thing, I'm not going to believe it, even if science backs it up 100%. Because now we've got different scientists, you know, like the creationist scientist Ken Ham coming out and refuting science with science, you know, and other scientists that have a religious viewpoint or a different type of viewpoint against science.
Even Neil deGrasse Tyson is, you know, kind of laughed off the whole notion of UAPs when the government first
announced. He's trying so hard to be Carl Sagan, man.
Don't even get me started on him, man. I used to love the guy.
Again, yes, same.
I looked up to him, and then when he came out with that and tried to be fun, I was like, go suck a dick.
And he does it all the time. He just did a TikTok the other day I was watching where he was making fun of people that believe in aliens again.
And you know what I'm saying?
Let it go.
I mean, that's why he gets along well with Bill Nye, the science guy, because they're both absolute morons. When it's unbelievable to think how someone so intelligent could be such an idiot at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
well, because for a lot of those guys, science is their religion. So if it can't be proven in science, if they can't record it, measure it, calculate it, you know, predict its existence, then it doesn't.
But see, I'm glad you brought that up, because you literally just pointed out the one of the biggest flaws of humanity when it comes to some, you know, things like this. We feel that we know everything, and we haven't even left this goddamn rock.
No,
we haven't left this little tiny rock floating around a star that's massive, but is just as tiny next to some of the biggest stars.
Right.
We fucking know what's out there because we did some math. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We haven't even discovered all of our ocean yet. Like, you know what we're
like, there are parts of the land we haven't been to. So
yeah. You know, and it's just like, it's unbelievable. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating because, you know, these are the people that those who, you know, don't know any better look to, you understand?
Yeah.
Like, they look at these people because of their degrees and, you know, the stature that they hold and all this stuff that they know. They went to school at this place, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? You could go to the best school in the world and come out being the biggest moron ever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you don't have the mental capacity to look past what, you know, to look outside of the box. You know, you're stuck with your blinders
on. They forgot that that's the biggest part of science is questioning and discovery. Like, that all the laws and everything that you're so proud of that you quote all the time, those weren't laws at one point. Had Galileo not said, screw the church, you know, we wouldn't know the things we know, and so on and so forth. And it's like, guys, you forget about discovery too. It's okay to say, hey, there's an infinite number of possibilities out there in an infinite universe that alien life could be one of them. Here's how it could happen.
And also, saying, nope. Intelligent alien life far beyond our comprehension of intelligence too. I mean,
and not only that, but you know, your science is based off of this, the planet's environment. You yes. understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're basing all of our information, all of our knowledge is based off of this one rock, right. this one dome, this environment in here.
Right.
Who knows if a planet orbiting a dual star system exhibits different physics?
Right.
Yeah.
Or something else that we've never seen.
We've never seen before.
That's where yeah. That's where our science always, you know, we fall short. We can never move forward from that because we can't think that way. You understand what I'm saying? It's like
yeah.
one of the most important things about all this is imagination. If you don't have it, then how far are you going to get?
Yeah.
If you can't let your imagination go and just, you know, think of these possibilities, and you're right there, you already failed because you're limiting yeah. where you could reach. You're limiting your reach. You understand? And that's the biggest problem we have, you know?
Yeah, I completely like agree.
Yep.
That's why I said it's about, you know, it's the individual, you know?
And your I don't knows aren't good enough for me. And you're saying, well, there's a possibility that it's a balloon, so therefore it can't be an alien spacecraft. No. You know, there's a possibility it's an alien spacecraft, so therefore it can't be your damn balloon. Okay? Like, that works the same way on my side.
I'll give you an example, right? With Rubber Duck. So it was analyzed by a ton of people, right? Mick West, all these people said it was balloons or a drone carrying drugs and blah, 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 all this crap, right? Long story short, just so you know, my source finally came, you know, and told me that he's ready to come forward.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, because he was afraid of doing it before because of, you know, his retirement. He didn't want it to interfere with that. So this was only about maybe 3 or 4 days ago that he informed me of this. And we're working on ways of, you know, getting his story out there properly.
Yeah.
And one of the individuals, he spoke to an individual that had done an analysis on the video that came to a conclusion that it was a parachute or a latex balloon. And he was adamant, like that was it, because he had a specialist, a friend of his on the show that, you know, had many years of experience with FLIR and convinced him that that's what it was, right? He had a conversation with my source for about maybe 15, 20 minutes. And he was like, he goes, okay, so I don't think this is a balloon anymore. Because, you know, I told him, I said, look, you have to understand, you know, you can't, these are individuals who were trained to observe. That is right. their job is right. to observe. You understand? They are looking through cameras every single day. They have to discern what is what, how to distinguish, you know, and a friend from foe, all that stuff. They're trained observers. So if there is a video that no one can explain because they have no idea what it could be, then take it from the people who are trained to look at things that the object was unidentified. You understand? Right. And if it was, and I argued with him and I told him, and my source confirmed it, if it was a drug, a parachute with a bag of drugs or a drone or whatever, I'm like, you think the Department of Homeland Security is just going to ignore it and go about their business?
Right.
Their job is to go get that shit, you right. know?
They're not going to circulate it around departments trying to figure out what it is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, yeah. you know, that's just like, it doesn't make any sense. So finally, you know, this individual admitted, okay, you know what, now that I'm hearing his side, I'm second guessing that theory. I'm, you know, because you're now listening, you're hearing it from you know, the horse's mouth or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
From the source. So this is why I was kind of happy that he finally decided to come forward and talk, because it clarifies a lot. And he's a very smart individual. He's extremely knowledgeable. He has, I mean, he showed me all his degrees and certificates. And I mean, the guy is, he's done a lot. He's done a lot. So I take his word for it. And if the guy tells me he has no idea what it is, I'm going to go, okay, this is unidentified. You understand?
Well, you know, and it's always funny because everybody who, you know, looks at the video, examines the video, tries to, you know, figure out what it is, we're always comparing it to things we know, right? We're always saying, well, that's a balloon, that's a drone, it's an airplane, it's a parachute. Again, back to your comment around imagination, nobody is really willing to step out on a limb and say, well, it only kind of moves like a balloon, but it's not really shaped like a balloon. It doesn't exhibit any other factors like a balloon. It just kind of maybe moves like a balloon in this one minute clip out of the entire 40 minute clip. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, like Stefan said, but once they say that there's a possibility that it's that, then everything else is gone. They've decided, just a balloon. It's just a drone. It's just a parachute.
It's one of the most frustrating things ever when it comes to this. Cause it's like, come on, you know, like what do we need to do? You know, like what needs to be put out there for someone to be like, okay, this is it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I go back to, you know, the what happened with Twitter when it was released. Like you had finally footage that is more than 1 minute long comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's staying clear with all the information you need.
Yep. And
before even analyzing, I mean, it was like a massive shitstorm. It's like, why? You know, like it boggles the mind.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, it doesn't give me a good outlook for the future of the subject. In all honesty, you know what I mean? Because it's like, all right, where do we go? You know, what is ever going to be good enough for anybody? You know,
well, and it's like, you know, we talk about it a lot, you know, Stefan and I have had experiences, lots of experiences, and we share them on our podcasts and on other places. But, you know, the experience that you have, we talked about earlier, right? The experience that you have is for you. The sharing it publicly is just to let other people know who have experiences that they're not alone. But you know, it's not to try to, like, I don't share my experience to convince anyone that there are UFOs, UAP, whatever you want to call them, that there is extraterrestrial crap. I don't share it to convince anybody. I share it because I want other people to know that if you've had an experience, you're not alone, right? Exactly. And I think that's, you know, what people who are attacking have to realize is that this is not an argument where we're trying to convince you of anything. We're just sharing information so that people who have had similar experiences can feel a part of a community of people who have had experiences, rather than to feel like they're alone in a corner somewhere.
Oh, well, that's why I'm doing, that's why I'm so I'm so open and colorful with my words when it comes to these. Because I mean, you know, I come from that. You understand? Like I know what that's like. I mean, I lived my entire life experiencing that. You understand? And it gets to the point where you just get tired of it, you know? And you know, I've had individuals tell me, oh, you know, ignore it or turn the other cheek, or, you know, don't feed into it. But then I say to myself, well, if you don't stand up to it, then when is it ever going to fucking stop?
Yeah, right. Well, it's like a bully at that point, right? I mean,
exactly.
Like people are bullying you for something you believe in.
So. Exactly, you know. And the thing is, to me, you know, that was my driving point when I decided to start my page. Excuse me, because I said to myself, if I'm feeling this way, I know there's a ton of other people,
tons,
not only feeling that, but I've actually gone through with doing things to themselves because of that, mm-hmm. because they felt like there was no one else they could talk to or turn to, and I know what it is to feel absolutely alone when it comes to this. It's a horrible fucking feeling, especially when you see something that is not supposed to exist, but there it was right in front of your eyes.
Right.
You saw it from up close, and it's like your whole world just, you know, goes upside down, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have patience for people who bully, and I'll straight out tell them, you know, without hesitation, go fuck yourself. You know, I have 21, it just went down now, 21.4 followers on Instagram. I should be, if I didn't do this, at 26 or 25, because I've blocked that many. I've literally blocked over 4,000 people because I just don't have time for that bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't want it infecting my fucking page.
That's right. Well, it's infecting your life, right? I mean, it's
exactly, you know, exactly. So I want, that's why I do it. You know, people say, oh, leave them, let them talk. No, I don't want that because then the people who are really there for that information are now being infected by that shit too. And they're going to feel some kind of way, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell my kids all the time, you know, consequences are, you know, actions have consequences. So you act out, you act a fool on social media. There's nothing that says that I have to, you know, keep you as a follower. So goodbye.
Exactly. So that's been my motto now since I started. block.
Good for you for keeping your head on, man, because it's not an easy thing. I mean, at all. And for you to still be open on here and still, you know, just coming on our show and still saying, hey, I'm not backing down. This is what I believe. This is where it is after all the ridicule and the weirdness and the craziness that's happened lately. Like, kudos to you, sir, because not everybody could handle that. Some people do just fade on out like Homer into that bush. Like,
I'm not going to lie. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, after that whole Twitter thing, you know, it did feel like that. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you, because it got, once I saw that, you know, like I got a glimpse of the biggest issue with this whole, you know, direction, this whole subject, and it completely just like drained me, because I said to myself, why are we even bothering with this bullshit? So many of these assholes out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? What's the point? You know, it just feels like it's a losing battle, you know, because there's you're talking about 8 billion people on the planet, and only 100,000 of them are sane, because and the rest are freaking batshit crazy. You know what I mean? But make you feel like you're batshit crazy. You know, how do you convince a planet? This is why I finally got to that point where I said, you know what? You know, it was like an eye-opening moment. This isn't about the entire planet. This is about reaching out to the individuals who are willing to accept this, who are willing to open their minds to that. Because the way I look at it, you know, after all of this, the way I see it is, if you're willing to open up to the possibilities that you know, you're not privy to in your reality, that you're able to accept what you don't understand, then maybe that assists you when your time comes to no longer be around, into passing on to the next, you know, phase of your life. Because what if, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. What if you died tomorrow and you're faced with a new reality that you had absolutely no idea was real? Yep. You could literally deny it and be stuck, and maybe that is where a ghost comes from.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Who
just really can't accept it, and that attachment to that reality is so powerful that it won't let them go forward. But if you're open-minded and you can accept these things, and you've been that way your whole life, when you're really faced with it, you can say, you know what? Okay, I can take that step forward to see what happens when I go through that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So that's why I've come to that conclusion, that it's about you, the person, what you're able to accept, what you're able to,
right,
you know, take in and say, you know what, the possibility is there, you know?
Yeah, maybe belief on the personal level, right? Not belief on the holistic.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Honestly. Yeah, oh, I agree. And, you know, it's something, you know, talk about the whole world. I mean, I do like that, the one thing that I like about new and improved Greer is his idea that if just 1% of the world were to meditate on a consistent basis, that it would, you know, kind of raise or change the overall vibration, and like sort of like a ripple effect, or, you know, one drop of oil in a thing of water, you know, it can really affect the entire thing of water. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing, I think, with people who have their own experiences, is the more people who have their own experiences and are willing to open their minds to what that means, right, to what that entails, the more people who can do that on a personal level, the overall world will be affected because of it. So again, you know, personal experiences and personal beliefs will change the world.
Oh yeah, I agree, you know. And I also, another thing I always, you know, mentioned is, you know, it our children are also a massive they are the number one, I guess you could say, I just had it in my head of how I was gonna put it, and it just slipped. Let's just in layman's terms, they're important. they're you know, because okay, if you think about the incidents with in Australia with the UFO incident with the school,
the ones that John Mack investigated.
Yeah, in Zimbabwe and the one in the UK, somewhere in the UK, I forget the name of it. You know, Rogan had asked a question to I forget that producer, the director's name that did the phenomenon. He asked him why these ETs were visiting these children, you know, and they were like, oh, he was like, oh, did they not realize that they're kids or whatever? And, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm like, I was kind of, I like Rogan because I know he's about this whole thing. But that question kind of got me a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying to myself, like, you know, they're coming to the children, if you think about it, because they are our future. You understand what I'm saying? They are the ones that if you can plant that seed of you know, of that reality into that kid's mind, it's gonna,
well,
and they're unencumbered. I mean, yeah, they have not been bullied down by society to what is real and what isn't real yet. And their eyes aren't so fixed on what they're told yet. They can still, you know, you always hear those stories that kids can see things that adults can't see.
Exactly.
And so I would absolutely go to kids before I would go to some adult that's going to be like, you're a daemon.
So it's like, you know, it's a little bit like, I don't know if you watched the show Lock and Key on Netflix, but, you know, adults forget magic. So once they turn 18, they can no longer remember magic. And it's kind of the same way in our community, right? I mean, when you grow up, you, for some reason, you can't accept that there might be the possibility of magic in the world. But kids still have that. Yep. And so you're right. I mean, you plant the seed, they're not encumbered. All the stuff that was just said, I mean, it makes the most sense to go and talk to the kids first. Also, makes me think of that song, you know, I Believe the Children of
Future. I was thinking about that too. Extra chocolate, ladies and gentlemen.
But I think this, honestly, I think where we're at right now is a really, really, really important point in our existence, because we've finally gotten to a point where we can talk about things like this, and it's a little more, you know, accepting now. Yeah. And that's important for that same reason, because now we can implement this and we can teach this and open our children's minds. And you don't know what that can bring.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm glad for social media and YouTube and podcasts, because before it was like a coast to coast is what you had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like now anybody can talk about this stuff. You don't have to just be some special guy that gets invited to coast or on Unsolved Mysteries or something like that. The conversation is indeed much larger. And I do like that.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for the day that some college offers a UAP course.
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, like I said, I was surprised that I got that message from the French teacher and on Instagram. I was excited about that. It made me feel good that it was actually being brought up in school. You know.
Yeah. And it is cool. I mean, and you are seeing like a lot of the news stories because of disclosure and stuff like that, that's getting closer and all the stuff that's going on. They're showing a lot more polls of, you know, believers and things like that. And it has significantly risen, you know, the younger generation, you know, from Gen Xers down, millennials, Z's and stuff like that, they are far more open to be believers into this than the boomers and the silent generation were before, you know, so... Because they had decades of so much disinformation.
Yeah.
So.
No. But yeah, so Andy, I want to thank you again for coming on. I want to give you an opportunity for let people know where they can find you, you know, out there in the socials or whatever the case may be.
Instagram and YouTube are the only two I really use. NYUAP discussion for both. That's the name I use.
Awesome. Great. And if you guys have found this on our Facebook page, you'll notice the link there for both of those on this post as well. And you know, so make sure to subscribe and all that stuff to the NYUAP discussion, because it's something else, man. Andy, thank you so much, dude. This hour flew by way too quick for me.
No, it was a pleasure, guys. It was a pleasure. Yeah,
we would love to have you come back on and just chat some more down the road, dude, because like I said, this hour flew by way too quick. We could shoot the breeze for a long time about this stuff.
I'm down. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy conversations like this.
Thank you, Andy, dude.
Man,
anytime.
great conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, it's got me all jazzed up for the rest of the evening.
Me too. Hashtag call me Andy. Reach out. We'd love to chat again. Do not be surprised if we have this dude on before the year is out again, because I enjoyed the shit out of you, Andy, and I love your tenacity and your sense of humor, as well as your passion. It's good to see folks like that in our community.
Jeez, get a room.
I know. I said hashtag call me. But no, seriously, love that, man. Great conversation. Yep. Much appreciated. So if you haven't yet, get your butt to the YouTube page, to the Instagram page, and follow this man. Lots of great, reliable information.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, there's a lot of we've talked about it when we're talking about it, but I mean, there are a lot of junk sightings and stuff that are posted on Instagram and Twitter by a bunch of accounts. You know, Andy tries to make sure that he's putting good stuff out there.
Yeah, so he's vetting that, and that's something that's important, because not a lot of folks do that. They just put whatever is out there, whatever's clever.
Yep.
And it turns out to be, you know, the McPherson tape. So just saying, which is on Shudder right now. You can watch it. It's pretty interesting. We'll go ahead and get wrapped up, Josh. I'm just, like I said, I'm jazzed. I'm still jazzed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked to him a minute ago and it was great. But just a reminder again, go to fearscapepodcast.com/support or fearscapepodcast.com/store. We've got a lot of great new designs on our merch store. Lots of fun Bigfoot stuff. Seems we had a really fun Bigfoot sighting earlier, and fun alien stuff. All kinds of just neat stuff. Just random shirts.
Stuff.
On
we got all kinds stuff. Of stuff.
We got all kinds of stuff. There's no excuse. If you want to find it, it's there. Or ask us. I'll make it for you. Whatever you want, man.
Whatever you
Josh
want.
Needs a haircut. Whatever you want. But no, thank you guys so much. I want to get to the segment that I love the most, more than anything, because it's a reminder that you are not alone. So let's get into our final segment of the evening, which is Encounters from the Fearscape. All right, Josh, this one comes from further than the UK this week. This encounter from the Fearscape comes from Grease, the comedy, not the movie, which sucks. Grease 2, hashtag all the way, is from Grease, from a listener named Vasiliki. It's a good one. I'm just going to leave it at that, as I do, because I don't want to get spoiler alert. It's more fun to listen. So this is the story, the encounter from the Fearscape, from Vasiliki, from Grease. From Grease, not Brice. Oh, Lord. Brice is a whole different thing. Anyways, here we go.
So I've had a few experiences, but two are the most memorable ones. The first one I had was about a black humanoid figure walking towards me inside an empty house. It has almost floor-to-ceiling windows on the front, and I said humanoid because while it was shaped like a man, it was out of proportion and kind of fuzzy around the edges. This house is considered to be cursed because it was built on an old threshing floor, and that's a big no-no there. I was visiting family in Greece there. The owners died in a span of 2 years of each other. The other one that I experienced, I was with two friends of mine, and we were walking on an empty neighborhood street, and suddenly while it was a sunny afternoon, it became like it was about to rain in a matter of seconds, and everything was in slow motion. Like, the sound of our voices were weird, like we were underwater, and we were even laughing when it happened because it sounded so odd. And we saw this black figure running past us, and it touched me on the shoulder. Now, this didn't last more than 10 seconds, I guess, but it felt like way more because of the slow motion feeling. As we were moving around slow-mo, this thing was moving at a normal speed. Both of my friends saw this and felt everything that I did, and we were scared, to tell you the truth. I have no idea what that was or the first one was, but we've all got some sort of theory.
Shadow people, man.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me is the slow motion things. I feel like we've experienced
throughout
our lives similar moments like that. Sometimes my night hag syndrome-y stuff feels that way. It's not just, you know, my body that can't move, my brain moves slow. But yeah, and when those things are moving at regular speed and everything else is moving slow, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think of, like, maybe that has something to do with time loss, the time loss experience.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, that, like, things are just moving really fast, and so it feels like you have lost time because your brain can't process how things are moving so fast. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very, very interesting. Thank you, Vasiliki, and I apologize if I mispronounced your name, but I think it's beautiful. But thank you for sharing that. Two experiences in one go, man. Like, nothing like seeing black figures or shadow figures or humanoids that are not shaped correctly. There's nothing like it. So please share those stories with us. You can send those to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on any of our socials at fearscapepod, or even just go to fearscapepodcast.com and submit a sighting. We would love to share those encounters with everyone else, because again, we want you all to know you're not alone. You're not. We have our creepy catch up, and this is your opportunity to share your creepy catch up. So, and I always love when Santosh comes on, because he's like, I've got 5 months worth of creepy catch up I want to share with you guys. And I'm like, we do Astral Stew and you never talk about it. Because he wants the blanket huggers personally to hear it. And I love that.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's all we got today, Josh. Again, make sure to follow the NYUAP discussion on YouTube and Instagram. Make sure to follow us on all of our social medias. Make sure you guys are checking out the Debriefs Tech Talk on thedebrief.org, or just simply put in the Debrief Tech Talk into YouTube. You'll find us there. We've got fun stuff going on there with our new show, Tech Talk. It's a lot of fun, and we have to shamelessly plug it.
I think it's in the contract.
It's in our Fearscape contract. Anything we do outside of Fearscape, we have to
promote. We have to plug. Yeah.
We have to promote it in here. I've been petting Kenobi, my dog.
Contract.
I gotta let you know.
Gotta let us know.
No, but seriously, go to thedebrief.org and check out all the great news articles they got going on there, and our stuff there. We're really, really excited. Let's go ahead and get out of here, Josh. It's been a great night. I already miss you, and I haven't even said goodbye yet.
Goodbye. No.
Bye, love. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Fearscape Paranormal here on the Fearscape Media Network. My name is Josh Rutledge, and keep your eyes on the skies.
And this has been Stefan. The truth is now.
I finally got to say it. And remember, folks, hold your blankets extra tight, because things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We hope you have enjoyed this guidepost on the road of high strangeness with us. And we thank you, as always, for listening and joining our caravan to the weird and unknown. Please consider supporting us as we continue our journey to find the answers we all seek. Fearscapepodcast.com
/support.